Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Empowered Communication Show with the one and only Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sarah, and I'm filling in for Kelly, who's presently taking an involuntary vacation, enjoying lovely Southern California from her hospital window. So hopefully she's listening to me sound like a total nerd here in her place. Also here with me is the magnanimous Dr. Pat Allen. And Before we get started talking to you lovely folks out there, I'd like to take a minute to remind you about the font of information that can be obtained by visiting Dr. Pat's website, which is www.drpatallen, and that's drpatallen.com. And also to remind you about the awesome events that Dr. Pat is involved with, in which you can also be a part of, that happen the first Monday and first Wednesday of each month. The next one coming up is going to be May 7th, and you can see her live at the Courtyard Marriott, and that's in Culver City. The location is 6333 Bristol Parkway. And to find out more information about that, you can visit Dr. Pat's website, and you can also visit www.wantistore.com, and that's want, W-A-N-T-I-S-T-O-R-E.com, and that's where you can get a copy of Dr. Pat's latest book, It's a Man's World in a Woman's Universe, as well as her classic set of writing. Dr. Pat, are you with us?
I am with you and ready to serve.
Awesome. All right, so hopefully we'll be getting calls from some folks pretty soon who are eager to talk to you and gain some wonderful insight. And while we, well, looks like that didn't take long. Caller, you're on the air. You're here with Dr. Allen. Caller, what's your question? Hi, caller.
Hi.
Hi, you're with Dr. Allen. What would you like to ask her?
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
I'm in a relationship. We're in the fifth month.
Ooh, you're in the imperfect period. So yes. How imperfect is it?
Well, he talks about his ex that he has a son with, like, almost daily.
Okay.
It's been difficult. She gives him a really hard time, and she's, like, a narcissist, so... he vents to me a lot, and I don't really know.
No. Do you want to use one of my tools to negotiate how to do that without hurting your feelings?
Sure.
That tool is the one that when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question a man you respect, do you respect him?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you're not with him for now, but ready to get rid of him. No?
No.
You're building.
We're building.
Okay, we're building. So you know he's building, too. So the first thing is you don't feel good listening to him talk about her. And you're not a therapist or a spiritual director or his mother. You're his woman, right?
Yeah.
So you be him, and I'm going to be the new you.
Okay.
So how does he do his thing?
He says, yeah, I talked to so-and-so today.
No names, please.
So-and-so. She was really condescending, and I'm really having a hard day because of the way she talked to me.
What can I do to help you and I do better? What would he say?
I think he would say, I don't know.
I have an idea. Is it convenient for you to hear me now?
Yes.
I believe divorcing is very painful, and I've learned some tools from a therapist, Pat Allen, and I want to share it with you. Here's what I would say to her, or I would say to you now. I really appreciate your pain when you want to talk about your ex and the marriage, but I would be so much more comfortable if you would say, I want you to listen to me vent my pain for 5 minutes. How do you feel about that? What would you say to him if he asked for an appointment to share his pain with you?
What would I say?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that was okay.
Would you say no ever?
I wouldn't.
Okay, but did you notice what I said? 5 minutes.
Right.
And if I were you, I might get a little cheap alarm watch or some kind of watch that lets you, or just have a watch and look at it, and when the time runs out, give them the timeout signal, which is another tool. So what I'm giving you is, I'm going to be him now and you're going to be you. Oh, that ex-wife of mine is really driving me crazy. Blah, 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 blah. What would you say?
That I appreciate him sharing, but I would feel better if he could talk to me about this for 5 minutes. Is that right?
I'm him. You're talking to me.
Right. I would feel a lot more comfortable if you would vent for 5 minutes.
What do you then ask him?
What do you think about that?
And then he would tell you. Now, he's either going to say, okay, and then you've gotten permission to signal him when his time is up.
Okay.
And if he wants to do another one, he has to make an appointment and ask again. Remember, okay, if there's any men listening, if you're going to bitch and moan about anything, teach and preach about anything, or question your loved one, daughter, mother, sister, girlfriend, wife, you've got to let us know that you're doing it, but that you care how we feel about it. You know, there's a book called Dangerous Passions by David Buss, and it says in there, and I really like it, that jealousy is a sign of territoriality. And when you're not jealous, you're not territorial, and probably not in love. So what your guy is doing is, yes, he's dumping on you without an appointment. And that is not cherishing your feelings while he's getting his cherished. So for you men, please make an appointment to bitch, moan, teach, preach, or question her. And girls, ladies, women, please make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question the men you love. And that includes your son, especially if he's 10 and above, your father, your brother, you know, your boyfriend, mm-hmm. your husband. Because the more we respect men by making appointments when we're going to share our pain with them, the more they feel cherished, and then they can cherish us. Why do we have to be the ones of respect first? Because when a man mates and when he marries, he's taking responsibility. A man, not a boy. A man takes responsibility for our safety, our stability, our security. We women, we give up a lot of our independence in response to that. If we're with a man, he's the pilot on the plane. If we're the women, we're the co-pilot. So what I've just given you is one of the tools that you can use to negotiate, not intimidate and not seduce him with doormat acceptance. You're literally letting him know what your boundaries are in the area of talking about his ex-wife.
Okay.
How do you feel about what I just taught you?
I feel good about it. I think I can do that.
Good. And I like what you just said. You said, I feel good about it, and I think, you know, you said what you felt first and then what you thought. That's perfect. We're all androgynous. We girls have yin bodies, but yang souls. Men have yang bodies, but yin souls. Carl Jung's wife wrote a great book, and it's called Anima, Animas. Carl didn't write it, but his wife did. And it's about the fact, this is based on Chinese quantum physics, I Ching, you know. It's that we're all both male and female. We're all active and passive. So we've got to learn when to be one and when to be the other, and that's what I teach. So there.
Okay,
thank good
you
luck.
So much. All right.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Good questions. Good questions. All right, next caller.
Hello,
you're on the Maybe you are. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do.
What's your question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I've been reading your book for over a year now, and it's been such a pleasure.
Awesome.
I love it.
Which
I want
book?
The audience to know I didn't pay you to say that.
Yeah. You know, you didn't.
Which book have you been reading?
I have Getting
Which
to I Do. I have
Staying
reading? Married and Loving It. Sorry, what was that?
Oh, those are awesome.
Have you got the truth about men will set you free, but first it will piss you off?
I do.
Okay.
Awesome.
A man met me about 3 weeks ago.
Yay, he was the sperm and you were the egg.
Yeah. he's been kind of consistent in pursuing me. My question is, there are moments when he'll ask me to call him, like maybe call me tomorrow or text me when you get off work. And I was just wondering, what do I say in those moments? Because I don't want to take
What you
leave-
say in those moments is, I will love to do it as long as I know that I'm calling when you're there. So when do you want me to call you? Between 2 and 2:30? You see? When you're not there, I have a lot of pain, feeling rejected. So I would love to call you if I knew what days and what time. What do you think about that, sir?
So it's okay to call him? Because I thought that would be like initiating.
Honey, wait a minute. He asked you to call him. I require you to do everything he asks as long as you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer.
Oh,
he wants to be He wants to be cherished. But we are going to do it based on his asking for it, not our mothering him by giving it to him for free.
I see. So when he asked me to, like, text him, is that okay too?
Everything. Just say, what days and what time am I safe that you'll be there and I won't have my feelings hurt?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I asked, because sometimes I would just not do
why
it.
Why do you think I'm on the air? Why?
Yeah, I thought it'd be worth asking because I wasn't sure. I didn't want to be the leader, but then I didn't want to not listen. I was like, oh, no.
Awesome.
No, I like the questions. They're part of my doctoral work. Androgynous, semantic, realignment is my doctoral dissertation. My supervisor was William Parker, who was a wonderful man, college professor. He worked for 30 years to get the marriage family license certified by the California and United States government. 30 years. My license number is 6801. That's not a lot of people when we consider what they are today. And he was also a minister. And he and I and one other person, Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul Man, we ran a church, the Bay Church, out of a movie theater in Newport Beach. And he supervised my work. I was going to have Marshall McLuhan, but he died. He lived in Canada and he died, but that's the way it is. They were both on the same staff of Golden State University. So with that in mind, I use words to manipulate energy quantum physically to help people negotiate. And that's what this radio show is about. So please call me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you, caller. Okay, everyone. You're welcome. Okay, everyone. So just as a reminder, if you would like to call in and chat with Dr. Allen, the number is 323-203-0815. And that is the highlight of our night, getting to talk to you fine folks out there. No question is too silly or, you know, nothing's too personal. So give us a call, lay it out on the table, and find out what Dr. Allen thinks of your situation. In the meantime, Dr. Allen, how have things been going with your shows? I think you just had your shows. I think we just had a Wednesday night show yesterday.
I had a nice house full in the Newport City Center on Avocado. And every Saturday and some Sundays, I do a 9 to 4 hour after lunch class based on one of my issues in my doctoral work. This Saturday we're doing addictions.
Very interesting.
Saturday we did dreams.
Always enjoy your dream interpretations. You know, analysis. Yeah, so that's always fun. Are you, is it a large turnout? Are you able to kind of get that intimate feel?
I want intimacy.
That's what I was thinking.
A maximum of 6 people.
Oh, see, that's awesome. So if you're listening and you're, you know, kind of shy about things, you definitely want to consider the Orange County show. And you said that was at the City Center, and that's on, what's the
Avocado.
Day on that? Avocado. All right, we'll get back to that in a minute. Just, for now, we have somebody who's wanting to talk to you.
Good.
Hello?
Good.
Hi, caller. You're on the
Hello?
Air. You have a question?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
So this man has been or was dating me for about 3 months. And he's 42.
Oh, that's the perfect period.
Yeah, so he's 42, about 11 years older than me. He's left-handed, and he ghosted on me a week ago on my birthday. He wished me happy birthday and then ghosted. So I'm wondering, does the same eight-week process apply to a left-handed man?
Now, I've got to explain to the people that might be first listeners. Way back in the 1800s, a surgeon in France had a couple of people, men, who blew rods through their skulls. But it didn't kill them. But they couldn't use language. And the doctor's name was Broca. So every human being has an area of language in their left lobe, in their brain. And now Norman Doidge has written a book about the brain that changes itself. And he wrote another one, How the Brain Heals Itself. So when a man is left-handed, he's like a woman's brain. Like an ambidextrous man who can use right and left, and like a naturally gay man. Now, what is a naturally gay man? It's a man whose mama, when she conceived him, and he was a girl for 8 days before she produced his testes, and they created the testosterone system for his body to convert. Do you realize every one of us is a girl for 8 days until mom spots the Y chromosome and triggers her into producing the SRY gene, which then converts the baby girl into a boy? Or a cortisone hyperplasic adrenalized female whose mommy thought she spotted physically a Y chromosome, but it wasn't accurate. That little girl is going to have so many male characteristics physically that you're going to recognize transgender in the flesh. So a left-handed man, an ambidextrous man, and a naturally gay man can think and feel. But a right-handed man has a smaller corpus callosum, the bridge between the two lobes, and that bifurcates his feelings from his thinking, and he makes a better cop, a better, anything where feelings. He makes a better surgeon because he can separate his thoughts from his feelings. You know, a sad statement, I've said it before, is that our American, well, just no American, our female soldiers suffer more from suicide when they're on the front line because they feel what they think and they think what they feel. So when you're with a left-handed man or an ambidextrous man, or you have a friend who's biologically gay, that man is like you're talking, and that's why gay men make such great girlfriends for women, because their brains are built like a woman. So basically, you've got to decide whether you want to respect him or cherish him.
And how do I figure that out?
By being one or the other yourself.
Okay. Well, I don't want to chase him, so I
you
don't
just
have to. I don't want to chase him.
So you want to be the feminine?
Yes. I do have some masculine tendencies, but I
we
want to be
do.
More feminine.
We all do. We all do.
Yeah.
Me too, me too, me too.
And then I was wondering, is it also because
when men are molesting women sexually, are they men or are they women?
Women?
Yes. They're doing what they feel like doing without consideration for the cost.
Right. And so my other question was, about like 2.5 months in, 2 months in, he was trying to get into my pants. And the first time I was over...
pants. Wait a minute. He was not trying to get into your pants. He was trying to put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina. And I'll tell you why. Because he was created to procreate people on the planet. He built that way. He just can't do it without permission. But too many women are allowing them to do it without giving permission. And that's got to stop.
Yeah, so the first time he tried, I kind of just, he went down on me, but I didn't do anything back for him, and I didn't...
Did you give him a hand? Wait a minute. Why didn't
yeah,
you give
I did,
him a hand job?
I did try to give him a hand job, but it wasn't enough to make him come.
Okay, so you need some training. You know, I used to know there was a therapist that was doing classes in hand jobs.
Okay. Yeah, because that's all I'm willing to do, like you said, unless I have a commitment. So I didn't mention anything about needing a commitment before I do anything else that first time. But the second time that he tried, I said, I don't have sex without, unless I know I'm in a serious committed relationship.
Wait a minute.
And then he just
Sex is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. Everything is sexual. You're talking about intercourse. Intercourse is God's sex. We make babies. We make love. We build families. More people die of misused sex, physically, mentally, emotionally, legally, more murders, more everything. So I teach the business of what science says about sexuality and how you can preserve your dignity and your legal rights by doing what nature wants you to do, which is be a lady and be a gentleman and negotiate a deal.
Yeah, so all he responded to that was, me too. And I was thinking to myself, what does that mean? I didn't clarify with him, and he's like, well, you can do everything else, or you can do other stuff, as in, like, go down on him, or whatever he was thinking. And I said, well, same rules apply, as in, like, I knew the commitment. And after that, I felt like...
See, a lot of people, you know that a lot of people don't think a blowjob is intercourse.
Right.
But it is. It's penile insertion in mouth. Penile insertion in anus. Penile insertion in vagina are all intercourse.
Right. So he didn't say much about that topic after. He was just like, oh, I need to find more time to see you. And I was like, oh, yes, you're really busy because he runs a company and I live an hour away from him. So it's always kind of sometimes I'm in his area because I also have a place out there, but only on weekends. So I think I was also making it easy for him at some point because he would say like, oh, I'll come out to see you. And I would say, oh, no, I'm in the area. And then he would pick me up from my place out there. But I'm wondering, like, was I not enough of a challenge? Was I too available for him? Like, what made him just pull away and
he may
not
want
to commit?
Responsibility. Did you hear me earlier tonight? I said when men mate or marry and go monogamous, continuous, and long-term, they do it with the idea that women need to be their responsibility, women, kids. In fact, I'm going to take any men. I know there's men on there because they called periodically. Mm-hmm. I promise on my honor to give, protect, and cherish women, kids, animals, and the planet, even when they're illogical, irrational, and often irritating. Now, that's cherishing. For women, it's, I promise, on my honor, to respect the men I love, even when I think I'm smarter and could do it better. Furthermore, I promise to keep my yang mouth shut unless I have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer first.
So you're saying with a left-handed man, I can choose to cherish or respect him? Like, he doesn't prefer
a certain
one?
Because he can do both. He can do both.
Interesting.
You see, when I work with lesbians, I find as a pattern that the one that was masculine will be masculine for a year and a half to 2 years and then want to go feminine. And the other one will want to go masculine. They trade energy spots. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Gay men go out and get a new lay. But lesbian women trade spots.
Huh.
Very fascinating. So what have I said to you? What I've said to you is speak feminine and ask him to be masculine in your communication, negotiation, you know. And that is, don't ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, make an appointment. When you want to say something about how he's irritating you, but you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, then make him right. You had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. What do you think about doing it this way or not doing it that way? And what can I do to help us do better? That's fighting with your man over things that are not immoral, unethical, or illegal. The fourth tool, big time tool. 90% of all communication verbally is nonverbal. It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. But you can't negotiate those until you get them to the social level to negotiate. So you have to say, I sense by the look on your face, I think by your tone of voice, I believe by your body language and your gesturing, mostly the bird, that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes, you're right. What can I do to help us do better? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And when men do it, they have to say, what can I do to help us feel better? And the last tool is time out, like a referee on a field. If your man ever does that, say, what can I do to help us do better? And then, if you ever see a woman do a time out, remember what I said. Ask her how she feels and what you can do to help you and she feel better. So there, I just gave you a mini course.
Okay, so I can say that if he's not calling, if he's texting instead of calling. And what about, like, his age, being 42? Is he, and he's never been married, is he just not
the
commitment type?
The divorce rate between a man that's 10 to 15 years older than his woman is very, very good. In the Mideast, they want men to be older than the woman they marry. You see?
Yeah,
but
I like older
more
men
than one woman. What?
I like older men, but I worry that if they're that old and they haven't married, are they just never going to marry? And am I just wasting my
time?
They
may be so manly that a woman couldn't trap them.
Right.
Men are by nature simple creatures when it comes to thinking and talking. We use 5,000 words, they use 2,500. What?
Even if he's left-handed?
Yes, but he is more able to talk about feelings and thinking. So what happens is the couple runs the risk of becoming too narcissistic, which means they both want to be respected and they both want to be cherished. That doesn't work. You've got to take your major position, and nature is going to take it away from you. For example, you marry at 30s, in the 30s, and you get up into the 40s, 45 to 55, and your estrogen goes down, and the progesterone in your body starts really coming on to you, and you become very boy-like. Mama, take charge. And he, on the other hand, perianthropause, he, as his testosterone goes down, 45, 55, he becomes more sensitive. And so that's how the young ones steal the older ones from the older woman who doesn't remember, keep my yang mouth shut unless I have to call the police, doctor, and a lawyer. So it's okay. Up to you which you want. If you want to be cherished, speak to him with only respect. Don't let him con you into being a woman with his woman. Equality is good for business and friendship. Equality is not good for marriage.
Mm-hmm. If I want to be the cherished one, because he ghosted on me, I shouldn't text him again because he didn't respond to my last text.
Well, did you initiate the text or did he ask for it?
Well, he had texted happy birthday,
and
I was
you
in Vegas.
Said,
so
thank
he
you.
Has,
did you
yes,
say
I
thank,
said, thank you?
You?
I did. I said thank
well,
you for the birthday wishes. And then I asked him how was
transaction.
Well, I asked him how was New York because he had just gone back. He said he had just gone back and was exhausted. So I asked him how New York was, and then he just stopped responding.
Okay. Then he obviously went on to another woman.
So I have to just let him go at this point.
You better let him go. And the reason for that is, if you don't let him go, and you give him a free girlfriend or free wife, then you're going to be bonded to somebody that doesn't want you to be cherished.
Mm.
Here's what I see. Men that don't want responsibility are boys. And they don't want to marry. They want free wives, you know, baby mamas, and that's single. That little phrase is really becoming quite rampant. My baby's mama. Okay? So, if you want to be a baby's mama, but not a wife, this is how to do it. Free wife, free girlfriend, free babies. But they're not free. So
is that what he's looking for?
He wants a woman who loves him better than she loves herself. Otherwise, he would take the responsibility to initiate. Guys get what they want by going after it. Guys who don't get what they want usually wait for mama to give it to them for nothing. There's too many mamas around here.
Okay, so don't chase after him and let him
go. John Gray and Warren, what is his name? Farrell. Have come out with a book called The Crisis of Boys. And I'm thrilled with it because there are too many women teaching their boys to be feminine, gentlemen, not competitive, conquering, and controlling. But that's not a man's nature. So what are we doing? The girls are becoming boys and the boys are becoming girls. Now that's okay if nature does it. But what are we doing when we teach school districts not to give number one prizes because we don't want anybody to feel bad? Forget you. Competitive, conquering, and controlling is the expression of maleness. Whether it's a man or a woman, because we're all male. What?
He was very competitive in terms of work and to this to a point where I thought he might just be a workaholic too. And
yes.
can't make time to see me, or I don't know.
He can make time. He doesn't want the responsibility, but don't be surprised if 6 months from now he's back on your phone, because he realizes you're a virtuous, responsible woman.
Got to go through that 8-month waiting period. All right, caller, thank you so much for your questions.
Thank you.
No problem. You have a great night.
You too. Thanks, Dr. Pat.
Good.
All right, so we have another caller here waiting for you. They'll be with us just a moment. Oh, it's taking a minute. Are you there, caller? Okay, well, while we wait for them, you were saying... Oh, there they are. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Did you have a question? Caller, I need you to turn down your radio, please.
Okay, just did.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.
I got a question for Dr. Pat. I've been dating a man for, I want to say, about 10 months.
You've been dating him. You're the boy.
He's been dating me. Yeah, he's very masculine.
Okay, now we know.
This man,
you, so.
Yes. This man is he has a lot of illnesses. I'm very attracted to him from the very beginning, but he has so many illnesses, and he is sterile. He can't get an erection, or he hasn't been able to get an erection for many years. And he's very young.
So he can be a companion. How old is he?
Yes, he's 52.
He can be a companion.
Yes.
He's in andropause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my dilemma. He's a companion. And he's
well, what's wrong with the companion? How old are you?
65.
You're down on estrogen. And you're on progesterone now, testosterone.
Yes, true.
So, you have the right, if you want, to pursue him, to mother him.
Yeah, he likes to be mothered, although he doesn't, I mean, he's very competitive and all that.
I know, but when it comes to intimacy, he's a woman more than you are.
Yes.
So, why not? I did a set of CDs, and it's called The Over 50 Relationship.
I have.
And it talks about, you've got that?
I do.
Have you listened to it?
I have.
And do you hear that I'm saying that if he's in that age bracket, especially if their bodies don't hold up like ours.
True.
You see, they're built to be young and dead by 50. There's 15 older women to every one older man.
Mm-hmm.
We can grind corn, babysit, take care of the sick. One king to a village is about all we can handle. So men don't hold up very well. But if you want one, you've got to remember that they're going into their femininity when they get to 45. And they're pretty much done by 55, you see? And we're doing the same thing, perimenopause.
Yes.
Estrogen going down, the progesterone impacting. So with that in mind, I want you to date three men, you see? And if one of them happens to be able to be your lover, great. But in the meantime, a mature gentleman can be a wonderful companion.
Yes, he is a wonderful companion, and he's very affectionate, and he's a loving guy. But he is a workaholic, and I think he's a workaholic so much probably because he can't be sexual.
That's true.
And of course,
he's making money instead of love.
Yes.
A lot of women would like that. You don't like that?
Yeah, I do. I do like it. He's my God. He takes care of everything for me. Yeah.
Harvard did a big study in the 90s, and they asked 10,000 people, why did you mate, why did you marry? Two-thirds of the men mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. One-third of men mate and marry for status and financial stability. They marry the daughter of a powerful man. Two-thirds of women mate and marry for status and security. One-third of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual. They're called cougars.
Oh.
See, this is what nature does.
Yes.
So are you going to keep him as a companion and
yes,
go find a nice man that fits your sexual needs more?
I would like to do that. I don't know how he would feel about it. He's very protective.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about keeping him as a companion.
I know.
Movies, symphonies.
So like having somebody like a boy toy on the side, or just having this companionship for, you know, for the sake of companionship.
If they're not committed to a monogamous relationship, he's got to accept that you're going to date at least three men, he being one of them, and you've got to accept that he's looking for someone who wants to be his companion alone.
Well, this is what he wants. He wants just only me. He doesn't want me with anybody else.
I understand. That's called a natural man.
Yes, yes.
This sounds like one of those times when you have to ask about the 51% valuable question.
That's right.
And he is.
Is he 51% valuable to you?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Then I want you to remember he needs respect and cherishing.
Yes, he's a...
And he's cherishing.
He's an alpha. He uses both hands, left and right.
God, you know what? Enjoy him. There's not a lot of them on the planet.
No, there isn't.
They die too fast. What?
Yeah. He's so sick and so young.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Awesome, caller. Thank you so much for your call. You have a wonderful night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So, that was interesting. Here we go. We got somebody else on here. Oh, always. All right, we're going to have another caller here, and there they are. Dr. Allen is on the air. What is your question?
Hi, Dr. Allen. I just recently
got back
with my boyfriend. Hi, I love your show. My boyfriend and I were fighting for 2 weeks. He stayed at another friend's house, partying, having fun, and of course, when they left, he wanted to come back and start over again. And for me, how do I reestablish trust and responsibility with him?
I don't believe trust and human goes together.
Okay.
I think trustworthiness is when you find out how much committability this human being has. Raise your right hand, please.
Yes.
I promise. On my honor.
On my honor.
Never to commit to a human being.
Never to commit to a human being.
Instead. Commit to the relationship with a human, finite, fallible human being.
With a human being. Okay.
Do your half.
Okay.
And hope to God he does his. What you
do
is don't apply the word trust at least for a year of knowing somebody.
Okay. It's almost been a year. It'll be a year in July.
And has he proven to be a liar, a cheat, and a thief?
He's lied because he said he didn't want to lose me. That's his reason. He'll lie to me and tell me he's working and he actually goes out with his friends.
Well, is that being unfaithful to you to go out with his male friends?
No, but he also has, like, you know, girls there too, but he hasn't been unfaithful as far as I know.
So, is he building a trustworthy record?
It's on and off. It's on and off. But when he came back, he gave me, like, his password to his, like, social media. So he's, like, been showing me, like, okay, you can have this. You can, you know, so.
Isn't that enough?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I just, yeah. I'm just so hesitant. I have, like, this intuition.
I want to ask you a question. Was your dad faithful? Was your
Dr.
dad
Allen?
Faithful to your mom?
Yes.
Okay.
Caller?
Well,
I'm afraid that's
you.
All the time we have for tonight, folks.
Oh, okay.
But
anyway,
we definitely
so
would. Thank you,
built.
Caller.
What?
We'd love to invite you to call back next week. We're here every Friday from 5 to 5:50.
It's
and
Thursday.
You can. I'm sorry, Thursday. Every Thursday from 5 to 5:50. And, you know, I've been thinking it was Friday all day. So, yes, join us next Thursday, 5 to 5:50, the Empowered Communication Show with Dr. Allen. It's been wonderful talking to you all. Dr. Allen, do you have anything to say to our fine friends?
Yes. First of all, I want to say I wish your mother well, and I thank you very much for your show you did. And I want people to love one another.
I think that's an awesome message. All right. You have a wonderful evening, Dr. Allen. It was a pleasure as always.
I will. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.